Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show. I'm going to say episode 555. I forgot to look it up, so that's on me.
No!
Good enough.
But I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Welcome to 2021, where game console engineers have forgotten how human hands work. Welcome.
We will get to that shortly. Earl's here.
Welcome to 2022, when the aliens come and take their game console as intended.
I mean, it's fair. They're super long fingers. And Jeff is here as well.
Welcome to today, where I've still not mastered the internet. It's not great.
Every week, we'll just check in with you. Have you mastered it now, Jeff? How about now?
You try turning it on and off again.
My name is Jeff.
Just unplug all of the internet.
He did actually.
We were here. He did do that.
That is 100% true. I was joking. I completely forgot. You did actually turn it on and off.
Right? He did.
It was like 2 minutes ago. We actually have quite a bit tonight. It was an interesting week for gaming. Lots of people angry about things, and
I like to be angry. What should I be angry about now?
Invincibility.
Sure, why not?
It's dumb, right?
That makes you not a real gamer.
Why are we angry at invincibility?
So, Double Fine announced that Psychonauts 2 would have basically a god mode toggle because they want everybody to be able to experience the whole game. So if like you're having some trouble with it or you know, you just physically can't do it or whatever, there's a way for you to advance in the game and get to like the next piece of their story. Yeah. And this made some people angry, and it's been like 2 days of Twitter yelling at each other about game difficulty again.
And Microsoft doubled down on it too. They were like, yeah, this is great. Great feature. Like they had like the Game Pass Twitter account was like RTing it. Like, yeah, all games should be like this.
Yeah. I don't disagree. Like just like who cares?
Right.
Like I could play it on hard mode if I want. I don't want to. But
wasn't the first game super hard?
Yeah. Like, it was some nightmare game design in that towards the end. So if I had this, I would have totally flipped it on that first one, and it would have been a much happier experience for me.
Yeah. Like, there are so many games that, like, my kids, like, especially the 8-year-old, not great at games yet, right? He can't, like, he doesn't have the coordination yet. He, like, planning ahead and all that stuff, he can't really do all that. Like, having a god mode in the games, he plays so many more games. Like, when, like, Kirby. Like, you can't really die in Kirby. So he plays so much Kirby. Like the God mode they added to New Super Mario Brothers, He loves that. Like he could, like he levels too hard. Well, that's okay. Luigi can carry him through. Like that stuff is great for games. Like I don't understand why people would be against it. If you don't like it, don't use it. Why is this so hard?
I think we need to introduce you to the internet.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of the thing, though. I think a lot of this is generated by Twitter. Like people just like to fight about stuff. Like
it's the vocal minority.
Yeah,
it's also the easiest way to troll. Talked about, right?
What's that?
It's the easiest way to troll. Like this is like an easy troll target. It's just so easy to say, just get good and be done with it. Like that's your argument.
Yeah, people just whatever. I remember we talked about this once before, and I was like, I have no problem with games being super hard, and I don't, but I also don't have, I don't know, like, if you want to add this, I'm going to use it. Like, I'm going to use anything you give me, so, like, it's cool, you know? I don't think developers have to do this. Like, I understand, you know, like, a series like Dark Souls not wanting to do it, but if they did it, I would probably use the PC mode, you know what I mean?
Like, I get that argument to a lesser extent, but I get it where it's like, okay, you know what? This game doesn't need, like, Dark Souls is a prime example. Like, everybody's like, you should add an easy mode. And if the game doesn't want to add an easy mode, that's fine too. Yeah. But I'm like, I don't get the purpose. Like, an easy mode does not hurt anybody. If anything, I think more games should have accessibility options like that. But, you know, it is what it is. Everybody, I guess for me, it's always come down to the fact that I don't necessarily think of video games as, not that they aren't skill-based, but that's not necessarily why I play games.
Right, there are games that can be skill-based, right? Like, yes. you can play Halo to, like, a super high level and be super competitive, but you could also just go around and screw around in that game. It just seems so dumb. And it happens like every 2 or 3 months.
You know, yeah, I think that, you know, some games are designed to be a challenge, and that's fine. But then also, there's nothing wrong with putting an easy mode for people that want, that need it to get past a level or whatever. Like, I will use them even in Mario sometimes if I'm failing enough at a level. Like, you know, if you put the tool in there, I might use it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Look, if From Software doesn't want to add, you know, difficulty settings into their Souls games, whatever, that's, you know, it's a choice for them.
I was gonna say, like, not just them, but, like, you know, think of certain styles of arcade games, like, which are about trying to get the high score and stuff. It's just like, sure. I get why you would not want to have alternate modes and this and that. Like,
I guess that would take extra programming, but you can segment that out, right? Where it's like,
yeah,
all right, so for like high score submissions on the leaderboards are only, actually, I think they do this for some. It's like,
they do, yeah.
If you play on easy, like, your stuff doesn't get submitted to the overall leaderboards. You need to play on normal or hard. I think that's fine. Like, do it that way. Like, all right, you played the game and you enjoyed it, but you don't get to, you know, compete with the people that are competing to be the best.
Yeah.
Because you're not playing it. Like, there has to be a set of rules at some point for competitive games or competitive, you know, ways of categorizing things.
I mean, there was a game I played this week that I had to play on the easiest possible setting I could find. And I was happy for the multiple settings. We'll talk about that later, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, yeah, you know, I think, you know, if Double Fine wants to do it, that's awesome. Like,
yeah.
And I think more people will, you know, probably try their game and play it all the way through. I don't know if you remember, like, back probably when we started this podcast, there were, like, reports, they had data from, like, achievements and stuff that, like, only, what, like, maybe 10-15% of people even finish games at all.
Right.
Man, you see that when you play on Xbox, like, when you get any achievement near the end of the game, it's like 9% of people got this.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
I literally just beat a chapter late in the game.
Beat a game recently, and I think we got, like, a diamond achievement because it was like 2.9% of people had gotten it, and it was really just to beat the game.
Yeah, like, it's pretty funny.
And it makes sense too. It's like one of those things where it's like, yeah, you know, like, everybody plays games for different reasons, and there might be people who may not beat a game, but they have a ton of fun in it. Like, it could be like they put more hours into it than you do. They just do it differently.
Right. They just never bother to finish it. Like, that wasn't their goal.
I know people that have Fallout 3, Fallout 4, Skyrim.
Yeah.
That have, like, played so much of those games, and they've never completed the main quests. Like, they're, like, way past anything I've ever put into them, and I beat in those games.
You're like, hey, how do you have the entire map unlocked without? What, how did you do that?
You don't even have the second achievement you get for the story. Like, what are you doing?
Like, well, I just wanted to, you know, map everything. Fine. Good work to you.
But yeah, so that's what people were angry about in gaming this week.
I can be angry at those people. I can't be angry about that.
Yeah,
I'm surprised I just missed that all.
Did you see this?
It brought some pretty big hitters out. Like, what's his name? Steven Spawn, who's with Able Gamers. Like, he's always out there in the front. And, like, he had a great thread on, basically, like, shooting down all the reasons that people want to keep, like, gatekeep it. And then there were, you know, Timur from GameSpot, Rebecca Valentine from IGN. Like they were all out there, you know, talking about it as well in different ways. But
they were caping because everybody knows that game journalists are bad at video games.
Well, that's the other thing,
I saw
right?
that one too. Yeah.
Oh, there was yeah, multiple people claiming that game journalists only are in favor of this because they have to beat games on a tight schedule, and this would allow them to play the whole thing before reviewing it.
And I don't see the downside to that.
Right. Like, they could play through, like, the beginning of the game to get a sense of the difficulty and then put this thing on so that they could tell us what the story's like. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't care. Like, everybody can review games. And just tell me how you played it, and it's fine. I don't care.
Yeah. Like, I played this on easy, or I played this on hard. It's like, I know full well that, like, you play the Final Fantasy Remake. If you play it on normal and you play it on hard, they're two very different experiences because hard mode locks things out. So you can't use items and stuff in that. So, like, that could be a really frustrating experience if that was how you went in to play it and that was the only way you played it. I don't know. It's so weird. But then, Tony, you told us all about your Steam Deck.
Yes.
What the hell is this thing?
Exactly how everybody
read
it. It's
a handheld Steam console. Except it looks horrifying. I have no idea where they thought this design was good. But all of the buttons are in, like, the upper corners in line with the thumbsticks. So, like, you're basically holding this thing up by the top when you're playing it. It's like the opposite of every other controller or handheld I've ever held in my hands. Like, that's like the weakest part of your hand, too. It's like, your hands are going to, like, ache after 20 minutes of this thing. And they're like, showing video of people playing with this thing, and it just looks so awkward with their hands on. I'm just like, how did you design this thing that is not meant to be held by human hands as a handheld?
I don't get why, like, just go by the design of other handhelds and other controllers. Like, this thing is just so... Oh.
There's a reason that the PS5, like the PlayStation controllers and the Xbox controllers keep getting more and more similar. Our hands are the same. It like there is literally a design that works best for our hands.
Yeah.
Well, you can't reinvent that. It's just the way our hands work. Like, your thumbs are in a certain spot. Your fingers are there too. There is an optimal way. And why you would try to go back and, like, re-engineer this in this completely awkward looking way, I just don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. Like, I looked at that design, I'm like, pass. Absolute pass. Like, I'm not doing that to myself.
I agree. Like, it looks...
Oh, go on.
Go ahead, Earl.
I was going to say, even aside from the design, I am curious about the target market for this. Because as somebody who likes PC gaming, but they get enough to play it with control sticks and not a mouse and keyboard.
Right. What kind of PC gamer is like that?
I would be interested in this console because it would allow me to play like Steam games. In a different, like, you know, I don't play on the PC, so I'm not a console gamer like me.
but the games it's making available to you are ones that you can play already.
Yeah, I didn't know
on console or aren't meant to be played like that.
Also, other question about it: like, does it have an HDMI output? Like, I could put it to my TV, or like,
I think you can buy. You can get stuff for it. You can get a dock for it as well.
Okay.
There's multiple versions of it too, right?
So yes.
I think like the one they're kind of pushing out there is the $399 one, but that's like the weakest version.
Mm-hmm. And, well, it's not a weak thing. It's a space.
Right. Yes, they have. More memory, more hard drive space, I guess. And there's like a solid state drive in the most expensive one, I guess.
Okay. I would be kind of, I would be interested in it, but I don't think I would get this one. I think there will be a redesign at some point if they, if it like succeeds
one,
at all.
One meant for people who aren't octopi. Yeah.
I am very,
just attach your suckers in the right spot and it'll work out.
I am very fascinated to see how it does. Pre-orders go. I'm sure initial pre-orders fell out, but again, I just think of it because, like, you know, I've seen a lot of people, of course, like, the, you know, the instant comparison is the Switch, and a lot of people saying like this is the Switch carrier, and I'm just like, I sit there and I'm like, okay, but like you have to define a demographic because. It's not like it's like, okay, like, yes, it does alleviate some of the PC gaming headaches, but it's like, are those people against PC gaming because it doesn't have analog sticks, or is it just that they wanted a portable form of it? I don't know.
It's very weird. Tony, you said, like, you said something about the games. Are they limiting what can be on it? Like, does it allow me to bring my whole Steam library over? Or
it kind of sounded like you could play pretty much any Steam game on there.
Okay.
I was also seeing like stuff about Game Pass, like being able to play Microsoft products on it.
That's not a bad get if it ends up on there.
Yeah.
Like a portable Game Pass machine would be pretty cool.
That would be great. I would like one that I could actually play.
That's not for the aliens that are coming to get their Steam machine next year.
I it wouldn't shock me to see them redesign that part of it very quickly. I just stupid.
Yeah, are those trackpads underneath the control? Like, is
yes, that those are actual trackpads.
Yeah, that's like the worst way to play an RTS game. But.
Yep. And you're gonna be like, you're gonna have your hands on the top, and you're gonna be like accidentally brushing the trackpad with like the inside of your thumb. Like it's gonna be a mess.
Oh, I look forward to Sean spending $400 on that. so that's out there. And Earl, I guess the other announcement was that they announced a Nickelodeon.
Smash Brothers.
Yeah. That's interesting.
That look any good? Like,
was this like Doug beats up Clarissa Explains It All or something? What's
but it's Nick. It's more like Nicktoons.
Oh.
That would be awesome.
So
it's more like, well, is it okay? Well, I mean, I seem to be down on this game, down as an interested in this game, which is fine or whatever. I'm fascinated from it, again, kind of like the Steam Deck, from the standpoint of like, who's the audience for this? Because it's a Smash Brothers clone. I mean, it does not, I mean, literally the name is like All Star Brawl or something like that. So it doesn't hide its influence very well. But then you look at the roster, and the roster is full of like 90s. And early 2000 Nick characters so far. You got Reptar from Rugrats. You get Nigel Thornberry. You have I think two Ninja Turtles, but they're the 80s design. Neither one of the series that aired on Nickelodeon, and stuff like that. So I'm like, are there adults who are like, I want to Smash Brothers game, but I want it with classic Nickelodeon characters? And over the last 2 days, I have learned the answer is yes, very much yes.
Okay. I don't.
I can't even get my friends to play Smash, so. But well,
maybe just needed the right influence. Maybe the Nickelodeon characters are kind of the one.
Go for Rugrats and. Is Doug in it? Because I feel like Doug should be in it. That would be cool.
I think Doug is owned by Disney now.
Oh. God. Damn.
So it's like, is it SpongeBob and?
Yeah, I saw it still with Turtles. SpongeBob.
Okay, let me see. I'm gonna put up the roster so far.
Why only two Ninja Turtles? I guess you could sell the other.
I mean, I also assume we'll have other stuff. So we have Helga from Hey Arnold, Danny Phantom from Danny Phantom, Sandy Cheeks and Patrick Starr from SpongeBob. We have Zim from Invader Zim. We have Nigel Thornberry, Bob Thornberry. We have Mike and the Elf Ninja Turtles. We have Reptar from Rugrats. You're getting out from the outhouse. You'll see outhouse. Ovina from Real Monsters. And Powdered Toast Man from Ren and Stimpy.
An interesting lineup.
Yes. It's very hard in nostalgia. Which I'm not going to fuck them for it.
I still think with my friends, like, you know, like the Mario characters have more currency than Nick. Like, I don't know. Even just from playing like Mario Tennis and Mario Kart and all that, like, they just know those characters more.
Yeah, like, I know Ren and Stimpy and the Turtles and
Like, I don't know.
I don't know what the wild Thornberries are.
Yeah,
I feel like I've heard of that. That seems to ring like some sort of vague bell in the back of my brain.
Well, I know who they are. I was gonna say, cause no, we're around the same age. Maybe it's really just like really tight window. Cause like the Wild Thornberries are like the late 90s. Like there's even a Wild Thornberries Rugrats crossover movie. I think that's the third Rugrats.
I also didn't have Nick for my entire youth. I only had it for part of my youth for some reason. I can't remember why, but.
I mean, your youth has lasted for what, 38 years now, so I'm a little surprised.
That's a lot. Yeah. But, yeah, like, for whatever reason, because I remember I had MTV for a lot of my youth, but then, like, I didn't have Nick. Like, Nick was, like, a different, I don't know how cable packages worked back then and all that.
I mean, I still don't know how cable packages work, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I was past, like, for most of these, it was, like, past when I would have watched, like, cartoons like this.
Some, like, I know some of them, like, some, like, okay, Ninja Turtles is easy.
Yeah.
Hey Arnold was about to, I think Hey Arnold started around the same time I was in, like, junior high school, so that, you know, was very familiar. Real Monsters was really much, I think Real Monsters and Ren and Stimpy were early 90s Nicktoons.
I want Ren and Stimpy.
I remember Ren and Stimpy very clearly.
So. Yes, yeah. Which is also really weird in hindsight that you put that. Stimpy is not a children's franchise.
No, not at all.
I guess that's where you put Powdered Toast Man and not Ren and Stimpy. Because like Ren and Stimpy ended up having a reboot later on an MTV where they actually got to do the cartoon they wanted to do. But yeah, I don't even... Does this have a... Oh, it's coming out sometime this year. But I think people are just excited. It's like when the first Smash Brothers Jones that actually looks interesting. And unlike some other ones, we won't name names. It's not doing anything to shake up the tree too much. It's pretty much Smash Brothers with Nick characters.
All right. Well, good luck to all those that are looking forward to that. I hope it turns out good for you. I don't think I'll be getting the Nick All-Star Brawl.
I mean, depending on the price, I might look into it.
Those Nick cart games go on sale all the time, so I'm sure it'll be the same thing with this.
Are they any good?
I never bought one, but like they have the same characters. They have like Ninja Turtles in them and all that shit.
Yeah, it's very similar rosters. Also, somebody pointed out, which is actually really funny, like you notice everybody's super quiet. I don't think they're going to be paying voice actors to reprise their roles.
These are cheap like knockoffs, but like I don't know if I was super into Nick.
Yeah,
if it played fine, whatever. Like,
yeah. Speaking of voices, just real quick, we earned that Kratos will be doing the voice of the Black Panther in the Avengers game for his DLC that's coming out. I swore this was announced like
boy, forever. Welcome to Wakanda.
I ruined it. I'm sorry, Earl. I did it.
No, that was the news. I mean, it's the Avengers Watch. I don't, you know, just to mention that the game still exists.
The game exists. It comes back up, and then like Greg Miller's out there being like, "This game is good now." Yeah, sure, Greg.
Is it?
Is it really?
Good on Christopher Judge for getting that role, I guess.
Yes, and minor news, I guess, but the Pokemon Unite, which I think we knew was coming out this month, got dated for next Wednesday, and that is the Pokemon MOBA game. I believe it's free to play.
MOBA.
MOBA.
MOBA. Not what mobile, MOBA.
I mean, it's both. It's a mobile MOBA.
Well, it's on the Switch, but...
Also, yeah, I mean, which is mobile.
Yes. But, crap, what does mobile stand?
Is multiplayer online battle arena?
Yes.
Here we go. Yeah. For some reason, I couldn't remember what the M stood for. I knew the rest. I was like, multiplayer, massive. Okay, here we go.
Yeah. All right, well... Funny, I'm going on vacation after... Not next week, or the week after. So that seems to be a trend. Pokemon releases their new mobile game just as I leave. But I don't think this is location based. So, but neat. That's kind of cool. I guess just so we don't annoy Tony too much. Let's quickly hit on Dynasty Warriors, Earl. You watched it. You made some bold claims.
I thought you were going to talk about Resident Evil.
We are. We're going to approach that too. And keep this short for
Tony. I just poured a new beer. I'm just going to drink it really fast.
Tony, I'm with you on this. I'm right with you on this.
Did you not watch Resident Evil, Jeff?
No. I don't even watch the movies, like the actual movies.
Like I like the actual movies as guilty pleasures. All right. Well, I guess we're doing Resident Evil right now.
Do it.
Resident Evil Infinite Darkness is bad. Like
really everyone bad. Says this. All the people are saying this.
It's a 4-episode series that feels like one of their CG movies that has just been sliced into 4 spots. Like sometimes the episodes just end. Like it's not like here's a scene. All right, we're done.
Like it ends in the middle of a conversation.
Well, the scene ends, but it's like okay,
that was a weird ending. You want the anticipation for the next episode, or whatever. You're like, oh, it ended on that beat. What's going on next? And this is just like a normal scene will happen. And yeah. It's just credits.
It's over.
Like, and the thing is, it's like 20, it's like 25, 30 minutes. So it's not even like the long episodes where it's like, oh man, you kind of really get like everything in that episode and you kind of get, it's like, oh, okay, that happened. Okay, we're over. I think there's like an entire, I don't even know if it's a whole episode where like they're in a submarine. No, because that's 2 episodes, I think. It's like 2 episodes worth of content in that 25 minutes in the submarine. And then I think they're on the water, like they're in the tower, the base, or whatever. And spoilers, but I'm with Chris. Yeah, I'm totally just saying, right? Watch this, because I watch a lot of bad stuff. I will, you know, I've seen every live action Resident Evil movie, and this was just dreadful. This was so boring. And okay, one. Even before all of this, it's like there's a reason a lot of CG movies don't tend to do human characters. They don't look right. You tend to stylize them a little bit. This shows like actual realistic humans, which I get that going after the game. It looks so lifeless and stiff, the animation at times.
Yeah, like it's like they didn't know how to animate humans walking.
Yeah.
So anything that's not action, which is a lot of this game, is just really awkward. A lot of this movie, TV show, whatever the hell it is.
It's super awkward. And there's a lot of talking here for something that, again, is like maybe 2 hours, if that, hour and a half.
Yeah, I think ultimately, because like each episode is like 26 minutes long. There's a 2-minute credit sequence at the beginning and a minute and a half credit sequence at the end. It's like 23 minutes, 22 minutes an episode.
So yeah, it's about like 90 minutes combined. Yeah.
And it's who thought it was a good idea to make Resident Evil into a political thriller with no thrills? Like there are whole scenes where they're, you know, with the president who we know of because Leon saved his daughter. And there are whole scenes of like them discussing policies. Why is this happening? It's so weird. And then, like, the big bad is... I mean, he's just a guy, but, like, then there's this monster, because, you know, it's Resident Evil, there has to be a monster. And it's just ridiculous. And, like, the actions that he makes, this guy makes at the end, don't make any sense.
Nope. Not at all. It's it was like, watching this, and I'm like, I was just like, what void are you trying to fill here? Because you're not, like, bridging the games together. Like, it takes place after 4.
Yep.
But that's about the, like, you get a scene where, I guess, Leon and Kier reunite for all of, like, 30 seconds.
Yes. Like, where he just brushes her off, like.
Yeah. And then she doesn't really serve much purpose here. Oh, because he screws her over at the end. Because she gets evidence of this grand conspiracy. He's like, I can't let you get this out. I'm like, okay, why not? I'm going to handle it my way. Okay? I don't think you need to tease a sequel here, because I don't want to see it.
Yeah. And also, like, you've tied it into... I mean, that's the only explanation, is they tied that this into the... Like, this technically takes place as canon in the timeline of the games. So there have been multiple games after this event happens, and they've never talked about this super secret material that never got out. So, but it makes zero sense why Leon, who is basically a Boy Scout, wouldn't be like, yes, we need to release this to the press.
Oh, Leon.
Oh, the whole thing is really stupid.
Agreed. Resident Evil is really stupid.
No, Resident Evil's fine. I don't know really why stupid. They subject themselves to this nonsense, but...
It's because the core material is really stupid, Jeff. That's why.
No, the core material is great. I don't focus on the narrative at all in any of those games, so, like, I would never want to see, like one of these, but like,
I don't care about the story.
Yeah, like I like Resident Evil for
it's about the
game,
like
the game,
right?
It is, you know,
it's not about the storyline. It's about like
not really,
jump scares.
No.
Some people are into that.
The story is really dumb. Like,
so I guess that's why we have all these movies. But
I like the individual, like, concept of each game story, but, like, as an overall, tying them all together, it doesn't work very well. It's really stupid. And these movies, which they've made 3 animated films in this series, which I really think is just an animated film that Netflix, like, took scissors to.
I have to imagine.
For no reason, because Netflix doesn't even do episodic. Like, they don't, you know what I mean? Like,
right, they release it all at once. Why couldn't you just release, like, here's the new Resident Evil movie?
I've seen them do this with, like, documentaries and all sorts of shit. Like, they did one documentary, it was like 3 parts. It could have been a 2.5-hour documentary. Like, just put it as one file. Like, I don't understand why you gotta make everything seem like a TV show.
There has to be somebody at Netflix that is just like,
that's, you know,
he's
like,
an executive, and
yeah,
he loves having scissors, and, like, they're like, just let Fred cut it. Like, he'll slice it up.
Let Fred cut it.
Yeah, at first I thought it was like Castlevania, because the first season of Castlevania is 4 episodes or whatever.
Sure, like, yeah.
But
they actually feel right. Like, they feel like episodes.
Yes, this does not.
Everyone says that show's good. You guys both all like it or whatever?
I've only seen the first season of it. But yeah, those 4 episodes are really good of what I saw. Earl, have you watched the Castlevania stuff?
Yes, I really enjoyed it. I think season 2 or 3 are the best, because, I mean, I guess minus 4 is season 4 doesn't really deal with Dracula, which is,
there's,
I mean,
4 seasons.
Yeah, but this is like Netflix. This is like Netflix animation is so weird. It's like 4 seasons, probably like 20 episodes. I mean, it's more than that, but yeah, it's not like a ton. It's not like they're like 20 episode seasons. Yeah, like I said, the first season I think is 4. The first season 4 episodes. There's 32 episodes in 4 seasons. So, on average, that's 8 a season.
Yeah, so that's And they're short. I think they're like half hour episodes.
I watched like the first episode or two. It seemed cool, but like I was just like, well, whatever. Like, you know, it's hard to keep me committed to something like that. But I've always seen people say like that is a really good adaptation.
I think that especially that first season, which is the only one I watched, like really does a good job of like, this is Castlevania brought to life. And like the lore that they have for Castlevania is cool, like, way cooler than Resident Evil's lore. So Resident Evil, not good. Don't watch it. But Earl, you watched Dynasty Warriors and you made some bold claims.
I mean, I think the boldest claim I made is I enjoyed it.
Citizen Kane of video game movies. I mean, I saw that out there.
I don't know. That was not me. So, I don't think I refer to Citizen Kane as the Citizen Kane as hit movies. It's actually, I think it does a good job of capturing the spirit of the game, which is kind of nonsense and over the top action. And it does a good job with that. Like, yes, there are times like that, you know, like they have their plots and stuff and you have people talking. But again, even the plot is fairly simple and it's told in a straight enough manner that you don't mind. I thought it makes interesting use of video game music, because a lot of the action sequences are scored with tracks from the games, and it's interesting because I guess people would notice it, but I've never really paid attention to it while watching a movie, how different movies are scored than video games, especially because video games tend to be a lot more bombastic and high energy. Because you kind of want to get, like, you're doing that. You want to get people like hyped for something. Where even movies, movies tend to be grander and more epic and more swelling and stuff like that. So it was really nice auditory just to have something that's different than a lot of typical movies out there. And then they kind of matched up with the action. The action was like, you know, you got people with a ton of like really goofy weapons and powers using that to fight through swaths of huge armies and stuff like that. And it's a pretty well shot movie. I thought it looks like it has a budget. It's on Netflix. It's not. I would recommend checking it out. It's I watch it. I watch the English dub because I was drinking, and it's easier. It's easier. But they also have it in the native Chinese if you want to like watch that and read the subtitles and stuff like that. There's a ton of options for it. But yeah, I mean, it is 2 hours, so it is an investment. But I do recommend checking it out because I didn't think that. I thought the 2 hours just kind of flew by for me.
Does it give the classic Dynasty Warriors, like there's some guy out there with a hammer, like making thousands of people fly through the air? Like, do you see that kind of stuff in the movie?
Yes, you do.
Nice.
That was actually
I might have to watch it just for that.
Yeah, like I said, they really make good use of like people having different powers. Like you have people, you know, you have the guy with like the hammer, and like, you know, like this one scene where like he uses a hammer on the ground. And you've seen this in movies before, like you use a hammer, it kind of creates this earthquake that shoots people to the sides and stuff like that. One dude who has like a lightning like scythe. There's a lot of weapons, a lot of really fun action set pieces in there. And they know what they are. So there's times when the movie's like, okay, we're going to talk for a bit and give you a shot. And it's like, we're just going to break this up with an action sequence. And then we're going to like, continue to shot and stuff like that. So.
Nice. I think I'm going to try and make some time.
Yeah, I think I might try this.
I'm going to add that to my list at least. There's a lot of movies this weekend. But.
Yeah.
Is anyone going to watch that He-Man show on Netflix?
I think so.
I got to watch like at least a couple episodes just because Kevin Smith is like running the show. But like there's nothing about that combo or any, like you're saying Kevin Smith doesn't mean a lot to me anymore.
No, not anymore.
But
no.
but just because it's him, it makes me like, has he found a spark again? Maybe he's doing something interesting with this. Like, it's like a fucking show based on a fucking cartoon from the 80s.
I will say when he gets his hands on something that he truly loves.
Yeah.
I think he does a really good job.
Like, so, like, I've never read any of his, like, you know, because he's done, like, Daredevil and shit like that. Like,
yeah, he did a really good run of Green. Like, he did a really good run of Green Arrow that I liked. He has, like, a Batman miniseries that I thought was pretty good. I didn't read the Daredevil stuff that he did, but he's also really slow. So I think I did. I started the Daredevil series. I think it was remember who exactly it was with, but he had like two or three issues come out, and then I don't even know if the series ever finished because he's just really, really slow. But yeah, like I think when he gets his hands on stuff like that, like he does a good job. I think he did a couple episodes of Supergirl.
Yeah, he's directed. Yeah, you're right.
And like he seems to like genuinely love like that type of stuff. So I don't know how he's going to do with animation, but
it's pretty much his brand now is how much he loves like all the nerd shit. Like, you know, and yeah. I do think it's like authentic. I think he does know what he's talking about.
Oh, yeah, it's super authentic.
But I also, you know, take like He-Man. Like when I was a little kid, He-Man was my favorite thing ever. I don't remember any of the lore of that shit. And you see him like doing interviews about it, and I'm like, do you really know this stuff, dude? You're like fucking 10 years older than me. Like, you really remember this stuff? Like,
which would make it ideal, though, because then, like, if he's 10 years older than you or so, I don't know his actual age, like, that would have meant, like, he was, like, in his early teens.
Yeah, so maybe he has clearer memories,
like, yeah. It's a big action show. And, yeah, you also have to realize, like, back in the olden days of the 80s, like, you had to watch the show. Like, there was no Wikipedia or Google.
Yeah, it was just whatever was on. You watched what was on, but...
And also, I mean, I'm sure you guys remember, but, like, when... Like, you come home from school and watch cartoons, but there were only so many episodes, so, like, they kind of ran on a track, and, like, you would watch those same episodes over and over again.
You would. Yep. You would.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny, because you realize, you grow up and you realize, like, they did that. Like, basically, they would make, like, 65 episodes. They'd air them all, every, like, 5 days a week, but that's only 13 weeks, and they'd repeat them in four cycles.
Yep.
So you end up seeing the same episodes constantly. And it always stuck because you'd rush home and it's like, oh man, is it a new episode? And it's like, oh, I've seen this one already. But
and you still sat there and watched it anyway.
Still watched it. You watched it until you memorized it.
Also, I mean, I just think like the art and the trailer look cool, but like I just feel like such a dork because like I'm like I watched He-Man when I was like 5 years old and I'm like, should I check out this new He-Man? And it's mostly, if it wasn't Kevin Smith working on it, I'd be like, whatever, man. But, like, it does look like they might have done a good job with it. We'll see.
So, yeah. Take a look at that. What else we got here? Earl, did you get a chance to play Space Jam?
No, I did not. So, I mean, based off the reviews of the movies, I'm probably just going to avoid anything called Space Jam for a while.
Yeah, the movie's not getting good reviews. That Space Jam game was free. I don't know if it still is.
I think it's still coming to Game Pass. I think it was just like a free, I think it was just like a free demo, early access.
Yeah, I mean, like it's the whole game, and you can beat that whole game in under an hour.
That's not surprising.
So
probably why they gave it away for free.
It's a brawler, so Jeff will love it.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, I played it and I beat it in about an hour. It's fine. I don't know. The story is really dumb, but also it's a brawler with a basketball. It seems really weird. Like I don't understand. Like, why wouldn't you just make a basketball game?
The egg Charles Barkley shut up and
Jam?
Yes, is that what it's called?
I don't remember Shut Up and Jam.
There was a Michael Jordan game on the Super Nintendo. I don't think it was a brawler, though.
Trouble in the Windy City, I think. I think it was, and I think you did stuff with basketball.
Yeah, it was 2D. Yeah, it's probably a brawler. But, like, you know, there was platforming and stuff. And like, played it.
So Shut Up and Jam was actually on the basketball court.
Ah.
So This is like Streets of Rage, but with Bugs Bunny, who's the girl bunny?
Oh yeah,
Babs.
Lola Bunny. Lola? Oh. And LeBron James. And you probably want to play as LeBron because he's the tallest and has the largest reach. And Lola and Bugs are shorter, and although I don't know, like you just mash X over and over again and occasionally press like another button and he'll do a spin move. But doing that spin move eats your health, so you don't want to do too many of them because then you'll die. And then there's these cards you can pick up, and you can assign them to your player. And there's one with the granny looking character. You've probably seen her in the trailer. If you use her, she drops health, so you can like recharge your health. And then that card charges up over time. There's only like 4 or 5 levels in the entire game. But if you're looking for a brawler and you want to play one that's free, it's there. That's as far as I can go with it.
Thank you for warning me.
Yeah. I mean, it was a quick 500 achievement points, but...
Oh, it's free for 500 achievement points?
Yeah.
And you can beat it in an hour.
And maybe I'm in now.
I don't know. I guess I would maybe play. I don't know.
And Tony, if you have, I don't think it's online co-op. So, Tony, if you have 2 controllers, you can get your kids to play.
I do.
and basically, like you can just walk through it with them, like because like if you die, as long as they're still alive, there's no like game over. As long as the second player or third player is still playing. Mm-hmm. So you can just rejoin. Like, there's unlimited lives that way. Like, otherwise...
So you're saying the three of us could just play forever?
And you'll beat it, yeah. You will just play, and you'll finish the game together. As long as one of you always has a character on screen.
It sounds way better than Monster Hunter Stories, too. Way better.
And it's free!
It's free. I already bought Monster Hunter Stories 2.
Just make sure you're playing on like that you are player 1, because player 2 and 3 will not get the achievements.
Oh no. No.
I found that out. I was playing with my son. We played through it, and then I checked like later. I was like, "Oh, like did he get all the same achievements I did?" And he didn't get any. So,
ouch.
But I got them all, so I'm okay.
It's fine. All my kids play on my account anyway. It's fine.
There you go. So it's like two guests. Add them on.
There are times where I'll literally like set them up with a game and be like, go play. Thank you for the achievement points.
Like you just set them up when it's one of those 10 point months for every achievement point you get is a Microsoft point.
Right. Or there's like you get the week where you need like the 3 achievements.
Yep.
I didn't know I was competing against a team when I saw Tony was 90 points ahead of me.
Team of 3, baby. Good luck keeping up. We can play all day because we're literally playing at different times.
All right. Jeff, what have you been playing this week?
Really not much, but I did play another brawler that I think some people of us have played here.
Yeah.
Streets of Rage 4. Yep. Anybody?
Yeah.
I think we are on there.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I liked it, man. Like it's, you know, it's one of those like it's not a remake or anything like that. It's a sequel. It's a pure sequel, but it like gets to the heart. It's one of those games that gets to the heart of what the old games did, but like just makes it feel the same but new, you know, look new and all that, like, so I think if you're a fan of this series, which, you know, I don't like brawlers, but I've always thought, like, Streets of Rage is, like, the best series of that genre. Like, this feels like, it feels totally right, like, you know, as a new one, I thought. I enjoyed it quite a bit, guys. I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. It's not much. It's very Streets of Rage.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a very good like update of
yeah
of that. So I thought they did a good job at.
It's not doing too much new, but it just looks and sounds great.
They're the guys doing the new Turtles game, I think.
Is it really the same studio?
I don't know if it's the same studio. I do know it's the same publisher.
Okay. Well, I hope that game turns out well, too.
Yeah, obviously. I did think that, it got a little, since it's not my type of game, maybe, but, I thought near, the last, three or four levels were pretty hard. I need to get some health or help in the last level to help me beat it. But, and I did, in the second half of the game, I had to use, the easiest, it's not difficulty settings, they call it in that. It's just you can set it so that it's basically difficulty settings, but they don't call it that. Like, you'd be like, I need, 3 hearts and 5 lives. Like, I would always use whatever the highest level of that was, the most lives, the most hearts. Give me anything you can. And even then I would struggle to get through it on my own. I would just get to end of certain levels or just, get to bosses and just lose all my lives pretty quickly. So I suck at these games, but I did appreciate having the difficulty settings, so to speak.
There we are, back on the difficulty settings.
Yeah.
God damn it, Jeff. God damn it.
Well, I'm glad you end up liking it. I know you had reached out to me on Saturday, you reached out to all of us in the group chat, and we're like, I might need help.
Yeah. I got help from a random, because I was like, I'm so close. When you get close to the end of the game, you're like, I got 2 levels.
I just want
to
finish it, yeah.
So, the last level, played with some random, which sucked, because they joined my game, and they took my character. I was playing as, God, what the hell was her name?
Blaze,
yes. I was playing as Blaze the whole game. He came in as Blaze, so I got kicked to being, Axel or something. I think that's one of the guys.
Axel. I don't remember who the other one is.
11 out of 12 stages. I felt like I was playing through as this character, and then I had to play as the dude at the end.
And then I think, when you beat it, you unlock other characters, right? Like, you can go through as...
I have to go and check. I haven't deleted it yet, so I'll go check.
Or maybe it's you unlock skins of those characters. So I think you could play as, Streets of Rage 2 Axel.
Yeah, you could play as... I think you can play as Streets of Rage 2 and 1 versions of these characters.
For beating the game?
You get them for different things.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a cool bonus level thing going throughout the game. I don't know if you guys caught it when you played it, with the arcade cabinets.
Yeah.
Yep.
Really neat. I didn't know that. I noticed the arcade cabinet. I'm like, I know there's something they want me to do with this besides break it, because it was so bright. And then I don't know. I was looking up something and I found that. I was like, oh, that's really neat. You go into basically boss encounters from Streets of Rage 2, basically, right? And, give you old pixelated graphics and shit. It was really cool. It's just it feels like they're really putting some care into this,
Yeah, they love the legacy of Streets of Rage, and then push that forward gave both a new experience and hey, remember this? This was cool too, right?
Yeah. Holy dug it, honestly.
Nice. And it's still on Game Pass, so.
Yeah,
and I was going to say the DLC dropped today, the Mr. X stuff.
Oh. Did not know that. I'll have to maybe jump back in and check that out.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's part of Game Pass. I don't think.
No, normally it's not. I mean, depending upon how much it costs, I for a couple bucks, it's way to.
And the other thing that I remember, you unlock stuff, basically, I think you've probably seen it. As you go through the game and you do certain stuff, you get points. And the points, every so often, will unlock a character or music or something like that.
That's what it was. So neat. So that you play anything else, Jeff? Or
no, not really. I've been kind of like, I don't want to start anything. Zelda's coming out in a couple of days. You know what I mean? Like, this is why I picked
tomorrow.
That's why I picked Streets of Rage, because it's short.
Are you excited for Skyward Sword?
I am. I'm like counting the minutes right now.
You've turned on that. Like originally you were not excited. Now you're like, yes, bring me this game.
I knew like looking forward on the calendar that it would just arrive at the right time, and it really has, because I'm like, I'm done with everything. I want to play something new. And even though like I don't like, I thought Skyward Sword was one of the worst Zelda games I've ever played. It's still Zelda, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's still
like bad Zelda.
I get to play a big Zelda game, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
And it sounds like I've been checking some of the tweets Earl's been putting out, and Earl, you put some ones out about the, you know, how they're cutting down
the opening.
Yeah, so it's not like as annoying.
Yeah.
So that could be cool.
I don't. It's the last time I played this game was when it came out. Like, so I don't even remember the opening. I remember the things I didn't like about it. That's about all I remember. And, you know, a few things I did like.
And it's funny because I kind of was on the opposite end, because I actually really do like Skyward Sword. It's not my favorite 3D Zelda game, but and I was reading reviews and they were talking about like the segment when you have to connect the sound tears or whatever they're called. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I watched the video. It's like when you go to like the realms and you can't awaken the guardians because the guardians are like essentially one hit kills.
Yeah, and I don't remember it. I remember in Twilight Princess. I remember doing it.
Yeah, I remember that in Twilight Princess. Yeah. I did that remember in Skyward Sword. And I saw it and I'm like, oh, I know exactly what this is, but I don't remember having a bad time with it.
Yeah. So I'm like,
So it's always fascinating because like, I think if you have a if you have a bad game, the bad things, the bad memories are going to stick with you. While if you have a good one, like, you kind of gloss over the flaws and stuff like that. And I completely forgot about that. Because like, I always knew about the popular popular flaws with Skyward Sword were stuff like Fee talks too much. The opening, it does take a while. I think it's still shorter than Twilight Princess, but it does take about an hour and a half.
Anything would be shorter than Twilight Princess. Jesus.
Twilight Princess, that's the one that sticks out to me. Like, God, that's long.
And then the one where you have to fight the mice like 3 or 4 times, like that's a tedious one, and that does not seem to have been fixed. Everybody's talking about the fact that apparently you can just jump on the guy's head to get the boss battle over with. I'm going to try that if I don't think I'm picking it up to this week, but maybe. Not this week, but I might pick it up eventually. I did just drop money on getting my pre-order in for a Switch OLED today at Best Buy. So
fancy. All right. That's all Jeff's been playing. Earl, what have you been playing this week?
Sadly, I'm still in the same rotation I've been on for the last few weeks. I've played more Halo CE, and but yeah, I still stand by my campaign from last week. The Flood are awful characters. I don't know how they were introduced, and the level design does get the level design really gets lazy in the back half of the game, because I'm almost certain the last two levels we played were literally just going back through previous levels in reverse. And it's like so bad because like there's arrows on the floor that point in the direction you need to go in, and they're just like you're just going in reverse because you're really just going back through them. It's whatever. But yeah, I didn't want to start with that one. I played more Marvel Ultimate Alliance again. A game still remains fun. It's actually I mean in hindsight I wish that all the characters had leveled up equally, but it's nice that I'm able to kind of jump between the old level characters and level them up with a new set of friends. And I think I'll give a brief Fortnite update because they've added a few new changes already, and it seems like everything they add just keeps on breaking the game in some new fashion. Because they had to like disable the zip lines for a bit, and then they introduced something called an inflator cow that seems to have been was busted for PC or for people. Where like you could like you were, it's supposed to be like a kind of strategic thing that you can use to evade people. You go into a giant cow, like a giant balloon cow, and you can hop over people and defeat yourself or whatever. But people were able to get into it and were not able to get themselves out of it. You got shot at. And I mean, if you're being shot at, you're already at a disadvantage because people know where you are. So, yeah. So yes. I will say I'm not super in love with the alien season so far. I think there's just too many, because there's like you have alien spaceships, which can be a bit overpowering, and then you have abductors, which are like they're bigger alien ships that actually will abduct you into a mini game. And that was fine, but like I mean Tony's Fate Apex, so it's kind of similar. Like it's weird to be taken off the battlefield for like a minute or 2 minutes, because like you get stuff at the end, but like you're not getting materials and stuff, so like you get back down there and like people have materials and you don't have anything and the circle's already shrunk and stuff like
plus,
that.
Plus
and
you're then, off your game, you've been playing differently.
Yeah,
it's just not a good experience.
Yes, and stuff like that. And then like they've added a new alien nanite stuff now where you can kind of deploy like a low gravity field. But it's really weird because, again, it's like nifty that you can move around fast. But like coming down is super slow. So you just kind of end up being a target if somebody sees you in that thing. You can just shoot at them. So I am curious. Like Superman's coming in a few weeks, and I'm happy to see what they do to expand it. And it's still better than like the wild. And I don't like the parasites. The parasites are annoying as hell. So
great. And you beat Outsiders.
Oh right, Outriders.
Outriders. Yes.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that. Yes. It's like we just decided because I mean we've been playing. I played it, I mean most of these games I play with friends, but we play like once a week, so we've been playing once a week, roughly speaking, because this week we skip for one reason or another since April. So like a few weeks, like 2 weeks ago, we were just like we're just gonna rush through and stop doing like side missions because again, like you can kind of play too much of a game after a while. Like you just want to see the end of it. So we kind of rushed through it and I don't know if they wanted you to do that because, like, the final two bosses are pretty much the same exact fight. So the second to last boss is in an arena. They will shoot electricity. They will have the like, and like they will summon other elites to be with them who are a pain in the ass. And then the final boss has the same pattern except without the elites. So it's much easier to beat his first form. And then he does a second form that's slightly different. But again, like with three people shooting at you, it was a very quick ordeal. And it's kind of funny because I think I mentioned before that I am not paying attention at all. So like my friends are like, oh, we got to watch the cutscenes at the end. Like really kind of wrap this story. I'm like, I don't know these characters. I don't know their lives. I don't care what's going on. I killed a bunch of stuff. Let's move on. But then like the post game opens up and it opens up actually different areas and different parts of the game. And then there's an actual final boss. So I guess that's the next task for us to do.
Yeah. So like that's the co-op piece, right? You have to play that because it's tiered to get to that final boss, I guess.
Yeah.
So you're like delivering supplies or something. I don't know.
Pod pieces or something like that.
Yeah. I didn't do that piece, so but you know, when you finally beat that, let me know.
If we beat that, because I assume they have a deadline because they are super excited for Diablo 2, whatever the remaster is called. And so that gives us about
2 months.
Yes, roughly speaking. And I mean, some of that's divvied up because I'm going to see them in like 2 or 3 weeks or whatever. So we won't be playing that because we can't, but yes.
We'll be together, yeah. I finished Death Stranding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations on walking so far.
It's a lot of walking.
Game so of the year far. of
Year.
I mean, I guess because they're releasing what the director's cut of 2019, though. That's when it came out. No, would not be game of the year for me. It's an interesting game. It has a really really cool sci-fi world that Kojima has put together. The story is actually, you know, it's nonsensical and crazy, like all of his stuff, but kind of has like a cool message behind it all about you know, connecting people and you know, about the relationships we build by working together. It's interesting enough. That's what pulls me through most Kojima games is the nonsense story. This suffers a little bit from the same stuff that Metal Gear Solid 5 does, though, like where it's just strings of missions, like that's all you do. There's no story interspersed there. And what brings me to Kojima is his crazy nonsense. So when you go like hours without getting any of that, it's a little disappointing, but you do get weapons, like you will shoot things at some point. It's not just putting packages on your back and carrying them across the mountains.
That sounds cool, though.
There are parts of it that are really cool, and it's like, all right, how do I get this? Like, how do I get this 120 kilogram package, like up this damn mountain, without like damaging it? Because also, like, you know, if you're in the snow or the rain, there's this thing called timefall. So it's some nonsense sci-fi bullshit that he's put together for it, but basically it like deteriorates your packages at an accelerated rate when the weather's bad.
I hate it when my package deteriorates.
That happens when I'm working too. I just leave it on their doorstep and say, fuck you.
Well, so like you put them in these, basically like these are in like these metal containers that you're transporting, and they'll deteriorate. And if they deteriorate all the way, then the stuff inside will then also deteriorate. And like, then the package is unacceptable. In fact, you can fail. Like, if you damage stuff too much, it'll actually give you a game over screen and ask you to reboot. There's cars, vehicles. There's like all this resource management that it wants you to do. I didn't really want to participate in any of that, so I'm just gonna climb over this mountain in the most like not practical way, but I'm gonna find a way to break the game, like by just climbing up on an angle or something. So I think I was playing it wrong in a lot of cases, but I finished it. It is cool. Like, if you were to get into it and be like, "Like, this is neat." Like, the last time I played, like, I had built 2 pieces of road, and now I come back and there's 15 pieces of road because other people that are playing it are like connecting onto my road. So like they're building stuff and you can utilize it, or you're building stuff and they can utilize it. So like this weird like asynchronous co-op going on. It's just really long.
I wish they happened in Animal Crossing. Build my bridge, motherfuckers. Goddamn.
Right. Like, you know, you like go and like the other thing is, right, you can put down the beginnings of a structure and like, all right, I want a bridge here. And then people could come along and like put the materials into that for you.
Yeah.
Or you could just come back and like they'll have completely built it. It's like, it's pretty cool in that way. There's like some really neat things. It's just such a weird game. Like, the majority of it is just like, put packages on your back and walk across America. Because okay, it is America. Like, they do not shy back from that. Like, it is the United States of America. Something happened, this Death Stranding. And now you are trying to reconnect America. Basically, you're bringing the internet to Middle America and then reconnecting it to the West, which has, mind you, been separated. Like, California has fallen off the map. So for you to get there, you need to, like, there's like a special way to get to what would be California or LA. It's cool. I don't think it needs to be 40, 50 hours, but some people, like,
director's cut, baby.
No. My God. Well, like, it was so much already.
I was gonna say, have any of you read his tweets this week?
I saw some thread he did about.
He doesn't like the idea of director's cut.
Is that he?
Yeah.
It's because he's.
Yeah, like, I was talking about that.
He wants to call it the director's plus, though. Like,
no. Well, I think he was joking. It was like, yeah, but he's like, yeah, it should be more. Because, like, yes, he is right. You're adding content after the fact. It's not like you're re-putting in stuff that was cut for any reason. It was that. And my favorite one that he had, though, was he's like, I've rewatched some of the trailers I put out, and he's like, they really were amazing. And I'm like, yes, pat yourself on the back. Pat yourself on the back.
I will give the guy this. Like, he writes. He writes the story for all of these, and I assume he probably writes the dialogue. He very much wants to be a filmmaker. he has a way of working with the camera digitally that actually is very cinematic. And he has enough, prestige in the game industry that, like, I mean, he got, what was it, Norman Reedus, Guillermo del Toro, Conan O'Brien appears in the game.
Don't forget Jeff Keighley.
Yeah, Jeff Keighley's in it too. Yeah, he's in it. He got like named actors for this thing, and they do a lot of work for it. So good on him, I guess. And I'm glad that people are willing to let him do his bullshit. And I'm glad that he's still out there making ridiculous bullshit. So good on that. And I also, I think I'm nearing the end of Mario Golf, Jeff. I got the gold badge.
Are you on like the Bowser course?
I didn't go to the course. I just finished the what's in like the forest, and
it's raining all the time. So yeah, you're close. You got like, you'll have to do three events on the, just like every other one. It's like just like two little events and then the boss.
Okay. Yeah. So like it was weird. All of a sudden, like the game changed a bit during the forest one.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you now go on this quest, and you got, like, it's not even a quest. Like, there's the damn arrow pointing you exactly where you need to go. It's like, walk all the way across these maps, talk to this guy, now walk all the way back across these maps, do these three challenges. Now you're going to fight a boss. Like, you're going to fight this, like, fire dragon thing. Yeah. What the hell is going on in this game?
Have you had to do, like, the lob shots yet?
Yep, yeah, yeah, that was the one, like, where
more it was difficult, like, and it's different than just, a lot of games, not just regular golf, but this, like, we're doing land in the target type stuff, go over obstacles, like, it's, I don't know. I thought it was pretty neat, actually. I wasn't against it. I found it kind of hard, but
that stuff is pretty cool. And then, like, I mean, I haven't found really a use for it in the game, like, using the lob shots, but.
If you're up against, if you have a bad, drive and you're up against a tree or something, you could maybe
flip it over. Yeah.
Theoretically. And some of those bunkers in that game are awful. Like, they're like straight
up. Really steep. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's places you could probably use it.
I don't think I like speed golf.
Yeah. We usually differ or, go back to standard. Like,
there's one that was like, I don't know if it was like nine holes or 14 holes for whatever reason. But it's like, you have to do this in like X amount of time. You have like a half hour.
Yeah.
And if you run out of the half hour, like, oh, well, you failed. Sorry.
Yeah.
I did it like six times. I kept hitting like get up to like a shot or two left. And I just ran out of time. It's like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
But I finally beat that, and then had to face off against like Donkey Kong and Luigi. They were pretty easy. If you give me like a time limit on a particular course, I'm probably okay. But when you're like, here's a time limit, you have to do all these courses at it. It's like I'm trying to like line up my shot because I'm terrible at putting. So it's like. And I didn't realize they don't really go through it on the rain course that like the rain will cause your ball to slow down. So like I'm hitting these putts on other courses and they're dropping, and here they're like drop, they're like stopping right at the cup. It's like, what the hell is going on? Come on.
I don't know. As a general rule, I overhit it on the green. Yeah, just in general. I always put the meter a little bit above where the pin is.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's where I was like, all right, yeah, this seems to be what it needs. Like, right, if it's red, like maybe do it like right at the pin. And if it's blue, definitely hit over it. And I'm like trying that. It's like everyone is just landing right on the cup. It's like
some of it will matter to like it's sometimes hard to see or tell that like sometimes you're pushing up a hill. You know what I mean? Like yeah. Then you do have to go overboard a little bit with it. Like you have to push it beyond where the
pin is.
But I just to be safe because like. Even if you're on level ground and you hit the meter well above the pin, it's like, well, usually the ball's just going to bounce off the pin and just go in the hole. Like, it hits the hole at some point and usually fall in, you know?
Yeah, so I'm hoping to wrap that one up. I don't think I like golf, but...
I love that game.
It is a good golf game. I don't think I like golf.
I am curious because I had this discussion with a friend. I guess this is more for Jeff than Chris. Do you think that they should have had some of the DLC out already, or would you go back in like 2 weeks or so?
I think like if you had the DLC out, what, 2 weeks after the game came out, it seems way too fast. I think I don't know.
But the game's been out what, 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah, I mean. Why is it then like it should just be in the game at that point? I'm fine with waiting a month or two or however long. I don't really care. But
like you're going to go back and play whatever new course comes out.
I will. Yeah, I like this game a lot. I think this game is going to get a lot of play around here. I really do. I haven't played it so much in the last week, but you know, it's one of those games you can pick up anytime. You know, it's not like a game that we're playing through. This is like a multiplayer game, like just to have fun whenever. You know.
Well, as long as you know, just for your sanity, they don't go back to Mario Kart.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking.
What's wrong with Mario Kart? Come on,
there's nothing wrong with it, dude. I've been playing it forever.
And he had it on the Wii U, so yeah. He's been playing it for like a decade now.
Yeah. Give me new Mario Kart.
Sure. Yes. You just need to hold out till. Need to hold out till Mario Party, and that you said they don't like playing that either though. So
actually, my girlfriend's daughter really loves it. So
maybe get some play out of that.
Yeah.
Tony, what have you been playing this week?
I've actually been playing a lot of the greatest game of all time, which is Mass Effect 2.
Nice.
Yeah, I finally made it to like, unlike Jeff. I didn't immediately go from Mass Effect 1 into Mass Effect 2. So I kind of took a break in there, and it was nice to like rejuvenate my Mass Effectness. But it's been great like to play through this game again that I haven't played in like 10 years, which I've always thought of like the best game of all time, and like to experience it all over again. Like there are a lot of story beats I don't remember. I had forgotten how as you go across the galaxy, recruiting all of your teammates for the suicide mission, how utterly badass the game makes each one of them seem as you pull them into your group. It's so cool to like, oh, I'm pulling this random biotic from a prison, and she's like out there like taking giant robots and like smashing them into little bits as you're like, okay, you can join my team, that's fine, that's cool. And like, you know, the master assassin like is like picking random people. Or not random people, but like shooting like evil people out of a crowd as you like work your way up this building. You're fighting through like these hordes of mercenaries who are like interspersed with these guys who just happen to be working there. And like the mercenaries like massacring them. And like, oh, you can join my team too. It's cool how the game like really builds up those characters and really makes them seem like really strong and really awesome. Like I want to build this team to save the universe. Am I picking like the 10 best people? Yes, I am. I'm absolutely convinced that I am.
I forgot how big the team was, to be honest. Like,
it's massive. And yeah. There's like
it's a huge party.
There's like 10 people plus like two DLC characters. The mercenary and the master thief person. So it's kind of cool how large the team becomes. But it's also fun, like all like the missions to recruit them, and then the like the missions to like loyalty missions are all just so awesome and so well designed. I don't know. There's nothing about this game I don't like. The fact that they kind of went with instead of like an RPG, like moving it towards more true shooterdom, I think was a really good choice. Because the combat feels really good. It just feels good. Feels good, yeah. Like walk around with a sniper rifle and shoot people. Just the shooting, all the weapons feel like they should feel.
Yeah, which was something that like the original game like suffered a little bit from. It's like,
yeah, the original game was annoying to like get like somebody right in your sights in a sniper rifle and have them live. Like, why are you alive? It doesn't make sense. My stats aren't good enough. Oh fuck. But I still put a bullet in your forehead. It's
like, kind of like bad bullet that I shoot at you.
Right. So now it's like I put a bullet in your forehead. You had shields. Didn't matter. You're dead. Sorry. Rest in peace.
Did you play through the first one, though, like this time? Like,
oh, yeah. So this was a continuation of my first game. So it's like the same character, like continuing the same storyline, which is good. Like I kind of tried to do that. The first time around, but I think I had switched Xboxes, so I didn't have the save file. So you'd have to go through like there's like this comic they have at the beginning.
And make like, your choices, make your right? Yeah.
Over again and hope that I'd emulated what I did.
Yeah.
This time, I actually went and just watched the whole comic because it like replays your previous game in comic form, which is awesome. It's so much fun to like see all that like played out. It took me like 30 hours or whatever. Now I'm seeing it in like 2 minutes. I'm like getting a whole recap of everything that I did. Like, oh, I forgot I did that. I did do that. That's the choice I made. Great. It's nice to see that over again. I think that's kind of the coolest thing about having like the three games all in one package is like this guarantees that I can play through all three on one storyline and have it all worked out. So,
and you're gonna take a break after finishing two.
I probably am. Yeah. I will say I had started Cyberpunk and then I moved into this. Sorry, Cyberpunk.
Dude, Cyberpunk's good. You should play it.
It's not as good as this.
No, it's not. But
there's no like weapons floating in the air here.
When I got to Mass Effect 3, I think I played about 2 hours of it, and I have not touched it since. It's not as bad or anything. It's just
no.
I was like done.
The problem I had with Mass Effect 3 at the time, and I doubt I'll have it this time. It's just you're the sequel to the best game of all time.
And you have all these expectations. You right. Like, oh, it's gonna come to this big ending, and it's like, you know, they don't quite pull it off amazingly.
Right.
And,
yeah. But I know they've made changes, and I have never played through those changes, so I'm excited to play through that part. I just know that like. Mass Effect 2 is a huge game, and when I play through that, I do need like that space. Otherwise, I'm gonna get bored.
I played through, I'd say 90% of the content in Mass Effect 2. Like, I really tried to like do as much as I could. I didn't do like tons of like scanning of planets and all that, but like I tried to do missions, any mission I could. And by the end of doing that and Mass Effect 1, I was just like, all right, I'm kind of sick of this stuff. Like, it's good. It's very good, but
It doesn't matter how good a game is. Like you can still get sick of it. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, that is fun. Sounds like that's a game that should be in the Hall of Fame at some point.
It absolutely should be. In fact, it should have been in there before Resident Evil.
Oh, we'll have to see if we can rectify that at some point.
Good thing Resident Evil got in there before.
Fortnite. I mean, it is older, so
yeah, better game.
Anything else, Tony?
Nope, that's a little bit of Apex Legends, obviously. But, you know,
nice. Also, next week, Jeff and I will have Zelda. I don't know how much I'm going to play before. I want to finish golf before I jump into it. But
well, you'll be done with golf next time you play it. So,
But Zelda's coming out shortly, so we'll probably have some of that next week. And yeah, and maybe Tony and I will watch Dynasty Warriors.
You never know.
And I okay. will at least think I will try Pokemon Unite.
Right.
I make no promises on anything ever, but it's free, and you know, usually those games are kind enough to put you a bot early on so you don't feel completely like awful at it.
Yeah, I think that's always been one of my barriers for MOBAs is like the only one I was able to kind of like try when it launched was the Blizzard one. Was that Heroes of the Storm? But all the other like Dota and League of Legends, they're just rough to get into, and the communities are not very forgiving if you don't know what you're doing.
Nope.
So, yeah, maybe I'll try that out too when it comes out. Yeah, see if MOBAs are a thing I can understand.
Pokemon MOBA is probably easier to understand than a normal MOBA. I'm gonna go with that.
So you can at least identify what, like, you know, right, like what you're using, what your team's using, and then what the other team is using, because Pokemon are pretty iconic. So
plus like, that Nintendo Touch, they'll guide you in.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe we'll try that and have that for next week. I think that's about it though. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night. See you soon, Groose.